May the Lord bless you greatly today to all the brothers and sisters who are here with me and to all of you and our first-time guests, our newcomers. Welcome to you all to this sermon here reflecting on the Bible. And as you can see, we never stray away from the Bible and how many riches we do find in it. This is why the Bible is this treasure that we have for all generations. This treasure God has left to mankind to delight themselves and enjoy of the scriptures, and especially when the word of God is read spiritually or in the spiritual sense, not in a historical sense or a literal sense or a poetic sense, but in a spiritual sense, which is God speaking and teaching us to live a better life before Him and to do what is right. That is what's beautiful. So today you may be seated and you can all get comfortable in your places, and we're going to sing to the Lord our hymn that we have accustomed to singing to the Lord. A hymn with our natural instrument. And we are going to do so with all of our heart. And so in our hymnal books, we search for hymn 128, titled, To the Work. To the Work, for we are servants of God to work in the Lord's vineyard and to do the work God has appointed us to with all of our heart. So with great joy, let us sing this hymn, hymn 128.
Trabajad, trabajad, somos siervos de Dios, seguiremos la senda que el Maestro trazó, renovando las fuerzas con bienes que da el deber que nos toca cumplido será. Esperad y velad, confiad, siempre orad, que el Maestro pronto volverá. Trabajad, trabajad, hay que dar de comer al que pan de la vida quisiere tener. Hay enfermos que irán a los pies del Señor al saber que de balde los sana su amor. Trabajad, trabajad, esperad y velad, confiad, siempre orad, que el Maestro pronto volverá. Trabajad, trabajad, fortaleza pedid, he reinado del mal, con valor combatir, conducir los cautivos al libertador y decir que de balde redime su amor. Trabajad, trabajad, esperad y velad, confiad, siempre orad, que el Maestro pronto volverá.
Blessed is the Lord, and glorified is our God. Praises be to the name of the Lord forevermore. And as you are comfortable and seated in your places, a greeting to all the brothers and sisters who are congregating in the different churches. A greeting to you all. And I don't even need to mention you by name because I know that I am going to need extra time to do that. But we know that the brothers and sisters today who are able to gather at this time, well, we're rejoicing in the Lord and we're going to be opening our Bibles in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we will be reading verse 1. And the Apostle Paul, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul..." Now, for what reason? Well, in the previous verses in chapter 2, he was highlighting that our spiritual life, or the spiritual life of all believers in the Lord, was founded on the apostles and prophets that our Lord Jesus Christ left behind when he ascended into heaven. And he left them entrusted, these people, that they needed to continue on with this wonderful work of preaching the true gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, as that chief cornerstone of that building that he began to build, his church, it says that that chief cornerstone is he himself, and he being the head. Well, this building fitted together grows. It grows. It's all the time growing and will be built and will be a very tall building that reaches God, the throne of God. And that building, that he being the head and that chief cornerstone, that it is his temple. And the temple is the believers. And he, as the head of that temple or of that church or of that body. And in verse 22 of chapter 2, it says, "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit of God." And then the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, chapter 3, "For this reason, for the reason that we are that building, we are that construction, or we are the body of Christ, he being the head. He is the chief cornerstone, the main foundation of that building." So he says, "For this reason, because we are what we are, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles." He was preaching to the Gentiles, to those foreign nations of that time, the Gentiles. They were called strangers or foreigners, and those who were not strangers or foreigners were called the people of Israel. Now in chapter 2, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you," he begins to share his testimony. The apostle begins to testify to the Ephesians, telling them that had they not heard of the great calling that God had made to Paul. But he, just in case they hadn't, he declares to them once again his testimony, among other words. He briefly tells them, "If indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." The mystery by revelation, it says, "that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already," by which when you read of that great mystery, "you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." He said that when reading and searching and studying the scriptures in depth, He was always a person who sought God. He was a Jew, and he was very zealous of his religion and was very studious. He was an intellectual, and he had read and he knew many things. But he understood things better when God presented himself and taught him. He himself taught him the gospel. And so that's how he then says, through revelation in verse 3, by revelation, that the mystery was revealed to him, as he had briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We today, we're going to highlight a bit concerning this mystery, because we have read somewhat about the mystery of God. The mystery, what is the mystery? Who is the mystery? Or what is the mystery of God? So we're going to read a little bit about the mystery. And we're going to read some three verses here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Very quickly, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Those who are not able to go quickly, then you can read maybe with your neighbor if they've already found it. Matthew 13, verse 11. Where the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. Now here, our Lord Jesus Christ was preaching his gospel, preaching his word in Jerusalem in that time. And it says that he spoke a lot through parables and with symbols, with metaphors. And many people didn't understand. They didn't understand his teachings. So this is why in verse 11, the disciples, they ask him, why do you speak to them in parables? They don't understand. And here the Lord in verse 11, he answers and he says to them, because it has been given to you, meaning those who believe, you who have been my apostles, my disciples, the followers, for at this point he had many people following him and had believed him. They were listening to him and saying, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to those who believe. But to them, it has not been given, meaning to the unbelieving. No, to the rebellious, to the foolish, it has not been given to them for God to reveal his mysteries. And in this case, there was a hidden mystery, deep, great mystery. This was the mystery that the Lord was revealing. But he spoke to them through parables and no one understood. His apostles, he had to then later explain those mysteries to them. The mystery of God, the word of God, the hidden mystery. The mystery who was Jesus Christ himself with the preaching of his gospel, of his word, or of the good tidings that we always repeat. But as I know, there are many newcomers and there are many people who are joining our teachings. I need to repeat and repeat. And those who have already heard this 100 times, the same word through my mouth, well, then you are going to become teachers of the word of God. And so, do not be worried about the repetition, because this is actually to your advantage for those who are called to be teachers of the word of God. So, as I said before, the Lord here was speaking and bringing to light this mystery of God, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And I repeat, that mystery was the preaching of the gospel or the good tidings, which meant the new method of salvation. For there was a lot of curiosity among people, for people for many centuries had practiced the law of Moses. And now the Lord was coming and saying that the law of Moses would not save them, that the law of Moses would not give eternal life. But that mystery, that hidden mystery in God, that is what the Lord began to do on earth. And then he entrusted his apostles for them to continue on with the work of which he promised and said that he was going to be raising up in his church, not just apostles, but prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And it was all for the evangelical work in the world for the centuries and forevermore until the Lord returns in the clouds. That was the purpose of God. That is what he entrusted them with and what he ordered his apostles the day that he ascended into heaven. And now we return. We are speaking here of that mystery, Let us go to 1 Corinthians on what the apostle says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 1. Now, we were starting in Ephesians, and then a little bit back, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and it is concerning this mystery, and in verse 1. Now, speaking here, and the apostle was highlighting his work in the ministry God had given them as preachers of the word, and it says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Now, this highlights that these were mysteries of God, what they were preaching. The fact that they were preaching the gospel of Christ, the good tidings, that consisted of believing that Jesus Christ was sent by God, that he was the Son of God, that he was God. That was a mystery. It was a mystery for mankind. And that mystery, God wanted it to come to light. And this is why now the apostles, they say, we the servants, we are the stewards of that of the mysteries of God. But this mystery was not left just with them, because the word of God continued to be living for all future generations. Just as in Psalms, there is a psalm in which the promise that the Father makes the Son when he says, "Your children, and the children of your children, and so continuously on, will serve me and will receive the blessing of God." So this is for generation to generation, the preaching and the teaching of this mystery, as it is generation to generation to receive the blessings of God to all his faithful followers. So speaking of this mystery of God, how beautiful this mystery is. And now we move on quickly to Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26 and 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, and it reads, or verse 25, the apostle says, "Of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you," to the Gentiles that he was speaking here, "to fulfill the word of God, the mystery," which, or that word of God, "which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, glory to the Lord." Jesus Christ, that mystery. But that mystery that Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, who was sent by God, who would come in the future to give eternal life and to cleanse and to save and transform lives and to give happiness and peace, that Messiah, he came with doctrine and with great depthness and with knowledge to make it known to his followers concerning what it is about God. And he was this mystery. He was the hidden mystery. And people in antiquity, when they read, or when they would read the promises of God, that in those latter days, the Messiah would come, the Savior, they thought that God was going to appoint a physical, material, literal king, and that he would be perfect, and that with this king, there would be no suffering, that there would be no more wars, and the people, and that the nation would be resting and still, because this king would be a perfect king who would give peace and joy. That is what they were waiting for from that Messiah, or from this person who God had mentioned so much through his prophets that he would come in those latter days, and he would give peace. He would open the eyes of the blind and the deaf. They would be hearing. That people who were sad, those hearts that were lonely and sad and grieving, that they would have light, they would have peace, they would have joy, that there would be gladness, that that fountain, they would be drinking from that pure fountain, and they would be refreshed, their body and soul, their being. And all of that, everyone at least, interpreted it physically. They were waiting for something physical, a king who would give them everything, and he was going to fill them with food and drinks and with products and with great riches, and that they would finally rest from war. That was the king, the Messiah, that they were waiting for. That perfect king that God mentioned so much in the Old Testament through his prophets concerning the wonderful work that this king would do. But they never understood that this was all spiritual work. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to preach the gospel, well, the people, they wanted to seek him, to place a crown upon him and declare him king, the king of Judah. And so he says that he would flee from people, and he would tell them, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not physical, it is not material. My kingdom is spiritual. And those who follow me must also live a spiritual life, and I will build a spiritual temple. This temple that you now see here in Jerusalem, it will no longer exist one day, and it will not exist in the future, for that temple will be spiritual, no longer physical. But they never understood. That was there, the mystery of God, already there in the light. And he was speaking and talking, and no one understood. And this is why it said he would speak through parables, so that they would not understand and would continue on in their own ignorance because of their foolishness and rebelliousness. But those who did accept the word of God, they were enjoying that hidden mystery. So this mystery is Jesus Christ. And so glorified is our God. And thanks be to the Lord for giving us these wonders and blessings. And I'll finish reading in verse 27, where it says that to them, that this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thanks be to the Lord, this mystery has been placed in the light, is standing in the light of the believers, of those who believe and accept the word of God. And here lastly, speaking of that mystery, and because, brothers and sisters, I'm reading a chapter that in every chapter there are many topics. This is why I have to discuss many topics. I'll start with one topic and then enter into a new one. Now, it's not what we're used to doing, but it is so beautiful to read continuously to see what happens and what it is God wants from us. And that is very beautiful. And I know that maybe you overlook all of these little things, and maybe the way in which we should give the teaching of just speaking of one topic, but there's so many here. But we do enjoy them, and our God, I know that he is very happy with us because we have set our hearts for him. We desire to learn about God. We want to be those teachers of God's word. That's it. So in 1 Timothy, in chapter number 3, here in 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, in verse number 16. But I'm going to go back a little bit more and start in verse 14. I think you're all ready, right? So it says, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. So Paul was speaking to Timothy. He was writing this letter to him and telling him, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church of God, the body of Christ. the building that the Lord is still building glory to our God. Verse 16, it reads, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Now, godliness here is of being righteous, of doing what is right, of doing what is good, upright and honest, holy, perfect. That is godliness. Now, it says, the mystery of godliness is great. Now, why does it speak of this mystery of godliness? Because our Lord Jesus Christ, in his mercy, he had so much mercy of people, of mankind, that this is why he gave his son to save them out of that godliness and love and mercy. He sends him so that people are saved, so that no one is condemned, so that we are able to enjoy the benefits from God, the blessings, and to one day enjoy eternal life. This is why it is the mystery of godliness, of what is good and right and perfect. And so it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. He here is speaking of the mystery of godliness. And we've already read that that mystery is Jesus Christ with the preaching of his gospel. That wonderful doctrine of the gospel, that is the mystery. And here, this is the mystery of godliness of God. God had compassion, he had mercy. And it says God was manifested in the flesh. Now, it doesn't say God named a man on earth and made him God, but he, God himself, made himself flesh, made himself like any ordinary man, and was on earth among people for some time. And no one knew him. No one discovered who he was. No one realized it very well. So great is this mystery. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, because the Spirit was always bearing witness of him. When our Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, it says that the heavens opened up and they heard a voice that said, it was the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I have all pleasure." He listened to him, believe in him. So it was to invite everyone to believe in him. He was the truth. So this is why it says he was justified in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit bared witness of him many times. And the apostles also share the story in the Gospels that they, being in prayer, the Holy Spirit also spoke, bearing witness that they needed to believe and follow Jesus Christ, for he was the truth of God. And it says, justified in the Spirit, so he's also seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles. So preached to those foreign nations, and some believed and received the spiritual gifts. They received the power or the gift of the Holy Spirit and received the spiritual gifts, and God also worked miracles and signs with the Gentiles. So this was the testimony that Paul had, and that he had lived and experienced, and what he was seeing in reality. And this is a testimony that has continued on for years and centuries and many centuries. And even till this day, we say the same thing, that even to this day, we are led and ruled and taught by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to do his work. So it says, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory the day that he ascended into the heavens before the eyes of about 500 people who saw when he ascended into the clouds, and there he disappeared. So this is the mystery of godliness. Now we go back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians in chapter 3. And now we continue with our reading. Now, we were in verse 4? Yes. It reads, "By which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And so now you've understood what the Apostle Paul was saying, that he had this great knowledge, a great revelation from God concerning the mystery of God, the mystery that was hidden by the Lord through many centuries and centuries, even before the foundation of the world. The mystery was there, hidden with God. And here now, it was revealed to the believers and followers, to those who believe and seek God wholeheartedly, to those who follow the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the true gospel of Jesus Christ is that in which people receive the spiritual blessings, receive the spiritual gifts. They receive first starting with the baptism with the Holy Spirit and then the spiritual gifts, and people enjoy the guidance of the Spirit of God. And we enjoy of that guidance and rule of our Lord. This is the true gospel in which we believe that the Lord himself was on earth because he is God. And he became a man, an ordinary man, but he is God. And that is the true gospel, to keep the commandments of God. And when we speak of the commandments of God, well, there are many in which it says, do not sin, do not do this and that, turn away from that and this. That is the following of the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is not the simple fact of just saying, I believe, because everyone says, there are many people who say, I'm a Christian and I believe. Yes, I believe in God. I believe, but I am not a doer of the word of God, which is different. The mystery of Christ. Let us enjoy it. And I invite you to also enjoy it. And in verse number 5, it reads, mystery which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Now, these two verses enclose such depthness, because the apostle here in verse number 5, he is saying that this mystery that we have now learned today, what this mystery is, it is Christ himself with his gospel, and everything that comes along with his gospel, everything that the great depthness of it encloses, of all of the acts, of the blessings from behalf of God to all those who believe in eternal life. So many things are enclosed in this hidden mystery, thanks be to our God. And it says, a mystery that in other generations was not made known. So the apostle was referring to those in the past. That previous generations, for example, when the law of Moses was still valid. And that it was the time in which the judges ruled Israel. First, it was Moses, then Joshua, and then came judges to rule the kings. And then after the kings, that is when the Lord sent a punishment to end. And the Lord no longer manifests himself after that. But all of those generations, they had not known, they did not know this mystery that had been hidden, that God had. God would mention it through his prophets, but no one understood, no one comprehended it. And as I said before, they interpreted and believed it was going to be a physical king, a good ruler that would exist. That's the only thing that they believed, that with this ruler, true happiness would come. But there was no knowledge or understanding that perhaps God was speaking of something spiritual. They did not understand it that way. So this is why the apostle says this mystery, the other previous generations, it was not made known to them. Just as it is now. Now it is revealed. Now, after our Lord Jesus Christ, after the apostles, when they are now preaching, it says now it has been revealed. And we've already said it's been revealed to his saints, and the saints are the men and women who believe in the Lord and have been separated for God, and this is why God gives them this title of saints, because they are separated for God. Now it says here, revealed by the spirits to his holy apostles and prophets. Now, he is saying that the Holy Spirit was who revealed the doctrine to him when he was there 2 years. Learning about God, learning the doctrine of this hidden mystery. And in verse number 6, it says that this mystery, that the Gentiles, they are also fellow heirs of it. The Gentiles are the other nations, the foreigners, strangers, they too are heirs. They are partakers of this mystery, of this body, of this same body, or of this same building. And it says, and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Because those Gentiles who began to believe in the Lord and accepted the Lord in that time, well, they too became partakers of being the body of Christ and heirs, and to receive and enjoy the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of those who were his followers, who in the end, once they end their phase of life, would then enter and enjoy eternal life with God, which is the promise of the gospel. And in verse number 7, it reads, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. So he was a minister of God. A minister of that hidden mystery, a minister of the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So it says he, or that God, gave him this grace to the Apostle Paul, though in many different areas he acknowledges and says that he was not worthy. Because he, at the beginning, he persecuted the church of the Lord, or he persecuted the believers of the gospel. And he, in his ignorance, thinking that in being so zealous of the law of Moses, that he was doing what was right by looking and observing and allowing everyone else to take the followers of Christ to prison or even sentencing them to death. He was permissive of it. He allowed all of these things because he thought that they were doing everything what was right to defend the cause of God, and that was not the case. So this is why it says he did not feel worthy of God giving him so many spiritual blessings. But the Lord, in his grace, in his mercy, gave him those spiritual blessings. But also God allowed him to live and to suffer many tribulations in his life. And maybe perhaps that is what God did in him as a sort of punishment for what he did. The tribulations. God allowed him to live so many tribulations, but he was able to overcome them all. He was strong and courageous and continue forward because he himself acknowledged that he deserved all of that. He deserved all those difficult trials because he had offended God at a moment in his life. And so he too, he felt proud that God had chosen him and had revealed also to him those mysteries of his gospel, mysteries that were hidden even before the foundation of the world. And so just as Paul, we today, we feel proud because the Lord has allowed us to know his ways. He has allowed us to enjoy the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to deny that we have an enemy, a constant enemy all of the time, who has been against us and persecuting us and trying to harm us. and trying to destroy our spiritual lives and trying to destroy the congregation, the church. And he opposes himself, and we have had to fight, and we've had to face him and continue forward without losing heart, only believing in the promise of the Lord, only waiting for the Lord to be by our side, for him to lend a hand and to help us to continue forward and give us strength and give us courage to continue on in this march, on this path, and to be able to face all of the different traps of the enemy. This is what we too today, we have experienced. All of those who are here, all of us who are soldiering on in this wonderful path of the Lord. And we have also gotten to know, we've discovered this hidden mystery of God. And we have lived the mercy of God through his spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. All of the wonders, all of the miracles, and all of the blessings that we have received throughout many years. Blessings that are material and physical and spiritual of all sorts. We have received so many blessings from God. So this is why today, as Paul, we also say the same thing. We say that we feel happy and we feel proud of having known this truth, this word, this hidden mystery, of which we never want to turn away from. And so this is also an invitation for those who are here, perhaps for the first time and listening to the word of the Lord and have never had an experience. You who don't have these experiences with God, I invite you to read the Bible. And think when you are reading, speak with God. And every time you read and you don't understand what you're reading, say to him, Lord, or God, however you want to call him, I don't understand what I'm reading. It seems wonderful, but I don't understand it. And I'm doing this because my heart is happy. I feel joy to read and to reflect upon these scriptures because I know that you are watching me. Do that. Do that and you will see that you will experience this God, that hidden mystery. You will experience him close to you and he will help you. He will deliver you. He will cleanse you. He will give you blessings. He will do with you what he has done with us. He has given us peace and joy and happiness. He has given us many blessings. And that all of that persecution of the enemy, well, we don't even keep it in mind. We put it or throw it to the wayside because more are the blessings and happiness and peace that we receive from God than what the enemy can do to us. So we will continue forward in the path of our God. And we're going to continue reading here in verse number 6-7, verse 7. It reads, Paul, the Apostle Paul, saying that he became a minister to the Gentiles. It says to the Gentiles, he says to those fellow heirs of the promise or and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel and all according to the work of his power. Verse number 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Glory to the Lord. It says that those riches of Christ are unsearchable, that this gospel, this hidden mystery, verse number 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that hidden mystery. It says, what did God want each person to do? What is it that God wants us to do? How should we evangelize and speak about God and to testify about the Lord and to bring his name to light? It says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, meaning that the time of carrying out a work and function had come to pass. The time of preaching of the gospel had arrived. And who began this? When this moment arrives, who started? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who started this work. So that is that fellowship. That is the moment that arrives to do something. And it says, of the mystery. So that mystery needed to be spoken of, and we see that our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who started it. This is why he said the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is not convenient for me to teach everyone, but only those who believe, is what he told his apostles. So here in verse number 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So those principalities and powers in the heavenly places, that is about everything. It's not just about everything that is in heaven, but also what is on earth. For those principalities and powers that exist in heaven, well, they too are exerting power and rule over human beings. And some rule over human will. Some for good, others for bad. But in knowing that hidden mystery, even the same spirits and angels, those who are with God, they were unaware of it. They did not know that this mystery, this hidden mystery existed, but today they know of it. They know it exists. In heaven they know of it, and on earth as well. All the principalities and powers, all of them know and have heard of the hidden mystery, and that the hidden mystery is in function. So this is why all those who do not fear God oppose themselves. They oppose themselves, and this is the fight, the struggle that us believers in Christ and the Lord, we are fighting against all of those principalities, all of those heavenly powers that oppose themselves to the work of that hidden mystery. And we continue here in verse number 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So he says to them, do not be discouraged because you have seen or you've heard of my tribulations, he says. And so because of those tribulations, maybe some of you have turned back, have lost heart. But do not do that. Continue forward, he says here. Because it says that they were the glory of the apostle in seeing the believers and in seeing the growth of the church. For him, this was a glory. This was a blessing. This was a star on the crown that God had prepared for him. And so today, what do we think? Well, we think the same. We think alike. Today, we too. There's that supernatural forces against that oppose themselves and harm us. But we have to continue forward. We have to continue forward because we have to win. We have to reach the goal, and we must attain eternal life and have that crown God had promised. And this is our fight. With the help of God, everything is possible. Everything is possible. God helps us because he will see that in our hearts we have sincerity and love and the desire that we have to please him. And this is why he will help us. He will not leave us alone. Here in verse number 14, I'll read verse 14 to end the chapter. So the topic changes a bit here. It says, for this reason, now we know what the reason is, that mystery, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, when it speaks of this inner man, this is in reference to our spirit, to our personality. Let's remember when a person, a human being, dies, their flesh is what is destroyed. That's what dies. But that person continues to live. That person does not die. They continue to live because their spirit is that person. And it continues to live. And they go to wherever God wants them or has them destined to place them in. And so what is corrupted and destroyed is the physical material body. So this is why this speaks here of the inner man. It is speaking of my spirit, my personality. That's it. So in verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. Meaning, he here was speaking of some measurements. What are the measurements that you need to know Jesus Christ? The greatest of measurements, that's what they can be. And it says, what is the width, the length, and the depth and height? What you ought to have, what you ought to capture and feel in your being to know God. I would say, or maybe I could change some of these words that the apostle used when he says the width, length, and depth and height. Well, I could probably say, what is the capacity of the heart, of the sincerity that we ought to have? Sincerity. The love toward God. The desire to please him. The desire to do his will. The desire to keep his commandments and to do what is right, to be living uprightly before him and in close to him, and to be able to feel his spirit in our lives, in our heart, in the deepest parts of our being. That's it. That is what we desire. That is what I long for. That is what I would probably change these measurements that are spoken of here for that. But if we take a look at it, it also gives us the ability to think of what truly is the measurement that is needed. What is the measurement needed or that needs to exist in your heart and that is required for God to be with you? Well, a lot. Just as when someone says, like a child, when the parent tells them, do you love me? And when they say from here to heaven, they're giving a measurement. They're measuring the love and affection. They're measuring the width, the length, the depth and height. So what could we say to the Lord? Yes. What can we say to the Lord that not even space itself is enough to be able to say, Lord, I would love you like that. I would love to follow you and do your will like that, Lord, like the measurement of space. What do you think of that? What do you think of us if we maybe set a goal to say that to the Lord? I think that the Lord would smile. He would laugh, but he accepts these things because we are children in his presence. And very well, let's continue forward and may God have mercy of us as children, don't you think? And we continue here after the apostle speaks of the width, length, and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So it is right to say to the Lord, I want to love you like all of the universe in that measure. That's how much I want to love you. And I want my heart to love you and to follow you. And in verse number 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, speaking of our Father, God, it says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. It says to all generations. And so that is what will come to pass. That's how it is and will always be. All generations that come will praise the name of the Lord and will know this mighty God, this hidden mystery. And they too will say, as we say, who love the Lord as we love in the measurement of space that has no limits. And it says here, to all generations forever and ever. So all people in all future generations to come may know our God. And you today, our first-time guests or our newcomers, I invite you to also enjoy of the great magnitude and the great magnificence of our God. For you to set yourself, prepare yourself for God and say to him to help you change, to help you remove all of those tendencies that you are not able to remove, those sinning tendencies, you can't remove them. And that you can't even think or reason freely because you're not able to, you don't have the capacity to. Say to God, free me. Give me reasoning. Give me sanity so that I am able to understand and comprehend your ways and I am able to follow and love you to infinity. The honor and the glory before our God. Let us pray, O blessed Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for the reflection today. Thank you. Because you are great and you are righteous, because your mercy is so great. If we wanted to love you to infinity, imagine the love that you have for us. It is unmeasurable. And there are no measurements for it, but you are great and you are powerful and merciful. And I ask you today, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you, or for all the men and women, all people, men and women, and of all ages, I pray that you stretch out your mighty hand and deliver them. And to all you may give wisdom and understanding, sanity and reasoning, and help them to think and to be able to reason and understand and comprehend your wonderful ways, that they are able to understand your word and this hidden mystery that is no longer hidden anymore. The mystery is now out. We know it. We're enjoying it. But Lord, I want you to have mercy of those people who are bound, who are in prison. The devil has them as prisoners with chains, with different spiritual ties. And their spiritual lives are in shambles. They're not able to work or do anything. They're not able to live with others. There is no harmony or joy or even personal reasoning on their own. They go about crazy and demented. And Lord, have mercy of all of these people who suffer from these types of situations, and also those who have had so much witchcraft and sorcery and curses done against them, and they are victims of these demons, victims of these evil spirits, and they too are not able to reason their own thoughts. They're not able to manage themselves on their own with wisdom and understanding, and they suffer from hunger and different needs. They're not able to work. There is no money or clothing or a home. There is no family harmony. They are not able to also have a social life with others because the spirits, the demons, the witchcraft done against them does not permit, and everything is chaotic for them. And disorder, and it's sad, and they're lonely. That is what many families, they are seeing and experiencing in their lives, in their homes, in the midst of their current environment. Lord, now that there is greater ease for people to hear your word is easily accessed by anyone. Lord, give them the opportunity and help each person so that they have the opportunity to know your wonderful ways and this wonderful word and this hidden mystery that we are now enjoying. My Father, have mercy of all of them. I also ask, Father, that you stretch out your healing hand upon those who are ill. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the healer, the Savior, and he will be healing. The physical diseases, and also the spiritual ones. And your mighty hand, Lord, be with them and deliver all. Give them peace. and remove all doubts, all disbelief, stubbornness and foolishness, rebelliousness. Father, we are before your presence, and bless all in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Amen. The glory be for our God. And we're going to sing to the Lord this chorus, which is titled, I Truly Love Christ. Chorus number 146. It says, I truly love Christ. Let us sing to the Lord.
Yo amo a Cristo, Él es mi amigo, me ha salvado, me ha sanado, poder me ha dado, pues me ha llenado de gozo y fe y de santo amor. Yo amo a Cristo. Salvado, me ha sanado, poder me ha dado, pues me ha llenado de gozo y fe y de santo amor.
Glory to our God. Thank you very much, my dear brothers and sisters, and thank you to all of you who are present with me. And well, until next time, and many kisses for all the children and hugs to you all. God bless you. Thank you. And welcome, of course, to all the first-time guests, and congratulations to you all. God bless you.